Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, and we are on for episode number 15. In this episode, later on, we've got Ryan Saleen, local triathlete. He's been doing it for good 30 years now, so it's going to be really interesting to talk to him about the triathlon world, something we don't touch on a ton here on the rundown, but we should touch on it more often because there's quite a few that go on. So it'll be really interesting to hear from Ryan.
Running is a part of triathlons, of course.
So. Absolutely, and within just the running world, there's you've got the road running, you've got the trail running, you've got ultras, you've got the triathlon world. It's all kind of the same deal. And then now this time in the winter, even the ski races, kind of in the snowshoe races and that kind of thing, it all kind of bleeds together and blends mm-hmm. in. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh wait, we forgot to say though. Every episode we say this has been so fun to do. And we love doing the podcast.
And we hope you're enjoying it, too.
And we hope you're enjoying it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You almost forgot that, Tony. That's like the crucial part of the podcast.
It is crucial. It's all true.
It is true, though.
Yeah.
It's fun. We're at 15. Kind of crazy.
I know. 15 episodes. It's going by quick.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Anyways, let's just jump right into results here. We have results from some of the races we talked about on our last episode. The first being the St. Croix Winter 40. That was in Hinckley, Minnesota on January 11th, Saturday. And a few kind of the ultra, winter ultra people in the area. I know we're down racing. The winner of the race was Jake Heggie from Onalaska, Wisconsin, with a time of 6 hours, 29 minutes, and 50 seconds. Of course, in the run. And then Laurel Sipe wins the females division in super speedy time, 7 hours, 12 minutes, 58 seconds. So nice job there. I'm just kind of scanning the results. Do you know anyone that raced? I'm seeing Janelle Gomez. She's out of Proctor.
Yep, I know Janelle and Heather Krall. Was second overall. She did really well. Congratulations to Heather on that.
Oh, yeah, sweet.
It's supposed to be a really cool race down there. I know some people who have done that in the past and... Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Yep.
And, of course, Arrowhead Winter Ultra is going on right now.
Right, so. As we speak, we're recording this on Monday, and they started today, and as we're talking right now, what time is it, Mike? About 6?
7:30.
Yeah. So, so they're, not quite 12 hours in at this point, so.
Yeah. And I have the tracker up right now. You can look at it if you want to, but trackleaders.com if you want to track it. I don't even know if we'll get this live before the race is over with.
But yeah, the race will be done by the time, or the race will be done by the time we get the podcast up.
Yeah.
But the track leaders is pretty cool. It's not everybody in the race. It's only the people who choose to carry a GPS device.
We're tracking. So. We're tracking some people here.
Yep. I got a lot of friends up there.
From the warm comfort of your kitchen.
Yeah. Which is a lot nicer than doing the race itself.
As it turns out. Freezer Gizzard Blizzard Run. We have some results from the 5K. Actually, the 5K and the 10K was won overall by Aiden Wynn out of Red Wing, Minnesota. I believe a Duluthian, Chase Edgerton, got second place in both the races. So nice job, Chase. Priscilla Miller from Fort Francis, Ontario, won the 5K run in 25 minutes and 6 seconds. And for the 10K, Haley Beaudry from Fort Francis, Ontario, won that race in 48:35. So no insane conditions for that event. It wasn't negative a bajillion million degrees. They got some snow the night before, I know, so... nice kind of snowy fun conditions.
What were what were Aiden's times?
Oh yeah, so
5 and 10.
Aiden won the 10K in a 42:15, and the 10K Aiden's time was 20 minutes 15 seconds. So
nice.
Definitely no speed records there, but yeah, it was a pretty rough footing having seen the course, so
yeah.
But good day. I think It should be either like really cold or snowy, you know, freeze, your gizzard blizzard run. And I think you go up there probably expecting it's going to be freezing, hoping.
Yeah.
But, you know, they still got kind of the semi-blizzard conditions, so that was good.
Yeah.
On the 18th, Saturday the 18th, was another race in the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series. This race was called the Wild Winter Wipeout 5K. It's at Spirit Mountain. It's kind of up and down the ski hill, which is fun. You know, a lot of just up and down elevation gains. I believe that was a pretty snowy race too. And I know I saw some photos of some face plants and so look fun playing in snow. Again, yeah, no 5K speed records here. Jake Sari wins it. Duluthian. 32 minutes and 6 seconds. Tiffany Carey won the females division in a 34:16. So, yeah, definitely a lot of Duluthians out there. Fun day for sure. 34 finishers.
Nice.
And then that's all the results I got. So
yeah, it's kind of a lull this time of the year. There's just not as many races going on, so there's less to talk about. So
yep. And, in fact, the only one race that we have to talk about upcoming is the Hartley 10K, which is, again, part of the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series. It's a 10K race, obviously, but either snowshoe or foot division, so you can pick. Beautiful loop in Hartley. And so if the conditions stay like they have been, it's just going to be set to be a wonderful race. I know conditions are pretty prime in Hartley right now.
Yep.
That is on February 8th, Saturday.
Yep.
That's all we got for upcoming races. So.
That's about it, yeah.
Yeah. Hop onto the trails report. Have you been on any of the trails lately?
I haven't lately. I was out of town for over the last weekend, so I haven't been on trails for a little while now, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a big loop in Chester, I guess as big as you can get, and Lower Chester is just phenomenal right now.
Good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really hard packed, but it's not icy.
Yeah.
Kind of tacky, some slippery spots. I mean, you definitely don't sink in, but you still have a little bit of that kind of grip and traction.
Yeah.
It's like really ideal conditions for Lower Chester.
That's nice.
And then ran the Cogs Trail, the Chester Rim Trail as well, and that was in just really good shape. That's kind of hit and miss sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, Lower Chester gets just so much foot traffic, it packs down almost immediately.
Yep.
But up above was nice too on the Chester Rim, so I'm led to believe that I think a lot of the trails are in really good shape for running right now. And
yeah,
we haven't had a ton of snow lately. I know it's been a little bit warm, but I think just with the lack of snow, it gives the trails a lot of time for either the fat bikes to roll over or foot traffic. And I'm going to hedge a bet, you know, not knowing 100%, but that most of the mountain bike trails or SHT, you know, just in general, some of the trails in town are in really good shape right now.
Yeah, I think so too. It's really been a really good winter.
Oh, yeah.
I think that early snow kind of helped really get a base established right away.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't had a ton of Arctic cold just yet, and sometimes that will help set it up too, but we've been able to withstand slightly warm temperatures with the trails just fine. So it's been a really good winter for the trails. So
no huge thaws. I think that really has a negative impact, but kind of looking at next weekend, hopefully it doesn't get too warm, but
we'll see.
Yeah, get on the trails for sure. Gear review. Wait, I don't think I have anything for gear review.
Oh,
skinny skis.
Yeah.
That's kind of getting into what I'm into.
That's what I'm into, yeah.
I started classic skiing this year. Never have really skied before. It's really fun. I've really enjoyed just kind of a different sort of activity, I guess.
And where have you gone?
Actually, Hartley mostly.
Okay.
Yeah. And my commuting backpack, I found out, has this little loop that I've never used, and I can slip my skis through it.
Yep.
And so one day I ran to Hartley and then skied a few loops and ran home.
Yep.
It was really difficult and challenging, and I was really tired after. You know, but it was pretty fun.
Yep.
And
very cool.
At first, I got so incredibly sore, in my inner thighs, kind of groin region.
Yeah.
I can't do it, you know. But that's just like any new activity, and I think it's helped me feel a little bit more well-rounded.
Yeah,
I feel like the runs I've been on lately, kind of that hip muscles, you know, region gets so neglected, I think. And so just that different motion has been really fun. So that's my gear review. I got a pair of the classic skis with a skin on them, because I think a barrier to entry for me was just I was scared about waxing and like learning about the wax.
Exactly. And then the maintenance, taking care of it all.
Maintenance. So the skin skis have been really easy to use and just like easy to get into. And Atomic, I got them at Ski Hut. Yeah, great. So
sweet.
That's also what I'm into. So I don't need to.
I would say go out to Boulder too.
Oh yeah,
take them out to Boulder.
I haven't been to Boulder yet.
It's a really nice area to go.
What are you into lately?
What am I into? I'm reading a lot. Reading a lot of books, and I'm actually kind of also doing some studying a little bit too. I was in a class a couple of weekends ago out in San Francisco, and so I was. I have to take a test after those class periods. But San Francisco was a great trip. It was really nice. I went out a couple of days early so that I could kind of just get out and play a little bit. So I was able to go and run Mount Tam, which was really cool. Something kind of a bucket list thing that I've wanted to do. Like if I'm going somewhere and they happen to have sort of like a classic iconic route, then I want to try to do it. Like for instance, Magnolia Road in Boulder, Pries Trail in Eugene, Oregon. Those are places that I haven't ran yet, and I want to go run those at some point. And Mount Tam was one of those, and so I stopped in. Well, I kind of mapped out, you know, where I was staying, figured out how to get to the San Francisco Running Company in Mill Valley. So I drove there. That was about an hour drive because I was staying quite a ways away, actually over on the Oakland side, and talked to Jorge at Mill Valley Running, San Francisco Running Company in Mill Valley, and he was awesome. He was just a great guy. Gave me super good directions. I said, well, I want to run Mount Tam, and you know, can you tell me like where to go? He goes like, well, do you want to run what we locals run, or do you want to just kind of run to the trail? I said, no, I want to run what you locals run. So he explained to me kind of what you do and how to go about it, and his directions were fine. And I had actually done some research on my own, so I knew exactly, more or less exactly, what he was talking about. So that helped a lot too. So I went and did it. And that was super cool. And then coming down was really, really cool too. I'm just coming down on this. So you go up, first you go up on some road, just through these neighborhoods and everything. And then you get into the single track, and then it's just like any other kind of, we'll call it a mountain, but by Colorado standards, it's not a mountain.
Right.
By Duluth standards, it kind of is a mountain, but single track trail up a mountain with switchbacks, that kind of a thing. And at the very end, actually, you're scrambling. You're up, you know, with your hands and your feet and on your knees a little bit. To get up to the very top. That's probably about 30 meters of that, maybe 20 meters of that. So that's kind of a cool way to finish it. And then all of a sudden, boom, there you are at the fire tower, and you tag the door on the fire tower, and now you've summited Mount Tam. So great views once you're up there, 360-degree views of San Francisco, Oakland, the wine valley to the north a little bit, like the Napa region kind of, as the wineries begin, Golden Gate Bridge.
I've never really heard of Mount Tam.
Mount Tamalpais, but everybody calls it Mount Tam.
What's the story behind it? Is it an iconic running route?
It's an iconic running route for sure. It's part of, there's a really famous race out there called the Quad Dipsy, and that starts down in Stinson Beach, which is more or less on the Pacific. It's on the Pacific side, kind of on the opposite side of Mount Tam from San Francisco. So Stinson Beach would be north, and then you would run south, peak at Mount Tam, then run down towards San Francisco.
Okay.
Although technically the race doesn't get to San Francisco, it ends in Mill Valley. But then that race has been around for a long, long time. And so there's lots of history. In fact, you're into fastest known times.
Oh yeah.
There's a Mount Tam FKT Jim Walmsley holds now. So there's some stories on his his drive. I'll briefly touch on that a little bit. So Walmsley, you know, knew about obviously the FKT out there. So in the midst of whatever, you know, 150, 170 mile week like he always does kind of thing, he drove to San Francisco. He ran the route one time just to get a feel for it. Just kind of, you know, easy. And then he went and he hammered it and he set the FKT. And then he drove like however many hours back to where he's from and like continued on his training week.
Arizona or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think he drove from Arizona. I think he was probably at some place else, but he did drive. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of the short version of the story on Jim Walmsley's FKT on Mount Tam. But anyway, yeah, so coming down from Mount Tam on Fire Road and just kind of twists and turns, and the views are incredible, and you're dropping down through these redwoods and through this place called Fern Creek, and there's like, it's just green. It kind of reminds you of like Oregon a little bit or something.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, the Fire Road just roll right down with the hill, and it was great. That was a great descent.
Cool.
Down in. So that was a lot of fun. That's what I was into.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. And high mileage running?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, trying to increase my miles, yeah.
Nice, nice. <Yeah. laughs> You know, I think that's all I got because I don't have a shout-out. I know you have a shout-out.
I do have a shout-out. I wanted to give a shout-out to Amy Broadmoor for, I actually saw her at a high school ski meet the other day, but for her really cool article on trailsisters.net. For you guys who want to take a look at the article, she wrote an article, 7 Tips for the Injured Runner, something along those lines. That's not the exact title, but it's pretty close.
It's 7 Important and Helpful Lessons for the Injured Runner.
Yeah, there you go, on trailsisters.net. And she just wrote it just a couple of weeks ago. It was published on that website, and it was really cool, and a lot of really good advice on that about being injured and what it is to be injured. And I have some thoughts on kind of how we treat injury and how we think about injury when it comes to training and that kind of a thing. And she touched on a lot of them. And one of my main things is I think sometimes we get so worried about not being injured that we kind of end up sort of in our own personal, for lack of a better term, our kind of mediocrity in a way. Like we're afraid to kind of go for it at times because mm-hmm. we don't want to get injured. Like all of our training is like with the idea, first and foremost, so don't get injured, don't get injured, don't get injured.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, like with some of that attitude, sometimes you end up leaving a lot on the table in terms of your capabilities. So, and she touches on that a little bit too.
Yeah.
That sometimes, you know, maybe it's just best to go for it. You know, like the Teddy, famous kind of Teddy Roosevelt quote, I'll kind of paraphrase it here, but he said something to the effect of, you know, it's far better to dare mighty things and fail than to live in the gray twilight where there is neither victory nor defeat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I feel sometimes about your training. You know, sometimes you say, to heck with it, I'm going for it. And
yeah,
you kind of live. If you get injured, you kind of figure that out from there. I talked to Bones about this one time too. We were on a run, and their idea is the same thing. When the Kenyans and those guys, and they're, you know, professional runners, so injury is a big deal for them.
Oh yeah,
they're like, you know what, you're gonna get injured. It's gonna happen. Just accept it. It's no fun. Nobody wants to, but
right.
just understand that it's gonna happen.
Right.
When it happens, deal with it, learn from it, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of their take on injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read Amy's article as well, and I just found it very inspiring, mm-hmm. and almost like it spoke to me, like, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think it's written in a way where I think anyone can read it that way,
mm-hmm.
where you can, I mean, there's 7 tips, you know, and each tip is kind of varied,
yep.
you know, and it's just like a really well-written piece,
yeah.
I think just in general, but especially the one that struck me is when Amy realized that she's trying to fill the void that running,
yeah.
you know, kind of, because she couldn't run. So it was like, I need to fill something in. So like, mm-hmm. well, it's exercise. So I got to go on the bike trainer. Like, nah, that's not the same.
Yeah.
And she realized that the reason she liked running so much was that it just allowed her to get into nature mm-hmm. and explore, you know, on her feet kind of. And so she could replicate that by doing gravel bike races or, you know, other types of kind of just outdoor adventures and such. And so that's what kind of resonated with me, like, huh, and it just makes you think, you know, like, why am I doing this? Or like, what is my
yeah.
purpose in all this, you know? And I just thought it was like, it jacked me up. I was like, yeah, nice.
To me, that almost touches on a little bit to why we do this podcast in the first place, is that really we all get each other. We
mm-hmm.
we understand what kind of where we're coming from. And,
yeah.
you know, we all have at least one major thing in our lives in common. And that's
common
that,
thread.
That ability to, or that joy of movement,
mm-hmm.
and typically it's going to be an outdoors kind of a thing because we're mm-hmm. Duluthians and that's what we do. But yeah, sort of a unifying theme, I think, for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in the dark days of winter here, if you're feeling a little down or...
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of like a dark article at first, you know, like Amy's story of just like,
yeah.
you know, this dreadful injury, like you can't run, like this thing that you love so much is just stripped from you. But reading the article, she's like, Yeah. Like reinvigorated. So.
And I think it's, getting back to the point of sort of accepting the injury.
Yeah.
To me, there's a freedom in that. Once you accept it, you're now free from that
dread,
that feeling of being like, oh, who am I now? What am I going to do?
Right.
Kind of a thing. You can just always kind of be stuck in that mindset.
Yeah.
You need to free yourself from that mindset, really.
Yeah. So anyone listening, go read that article, trailsisters.net.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Great one.